In any case, I repeat, and repeat so that you may remember it well, not as you are in the habit of remembering other things, and on the basis of which you are accustomed to keeping your word of honor to others or to yourself, that no matter what language I use, I shall always and in everything avoid what I have called bon ton literary language. With regard to this, it is an extremely curious fact, perhaps more worthy of your love of knowledge than you may suppose, that from my earliest childhood, that is to say, ever since the birth in me of the need to rob birds' nests and to tease my friends' sisters, there arose in my planetary body, as the ancient theosophists called it, and moreover, why I don't know, chiefly in the right half, an involuntary, instinctive sensation that up to the period of my life when I became a teacher of dancing was gradually formed into a definite feeling. And later, when thanks to this profession of mine, I came in contact with people of many different types, the conviction also began to arise in what is called my mind, that these languages, or rather their grammars, are composed by people who, with respect to knowledge of language, are exactly like those biped animals whom the esteemed Mullah Nasiruddin characterizes thus. All they can do is wrangle with pigs about the quality of oranges. People of this kind, who due to rotten heredity and nauseating upbringing, on reaching a certain age, have been turned into voracious moths, destroying the good prepared and left for us by our ancestors and by time, have not the slightest notion and have never even heard of the blatantly obvious fact that during preparatory age, there is acquired in the brain functioning of every creature, and thus of man also, a definite property whose automatic manifestations proceed according to a certain law that the ancient Corcolans called the law of associations, and that the process of mentation of every creature, especially man, flows exclusively in accordance with this law. Since I have happened to touch upon a question that has recently become almost an obsession of mine, namely the process of human mentation, I consider it possible, without waiting for the place in my writings I had designated for the elucidation of this question, to speak at least a little in this first chapter about some information that accidentally became known to me. According to this information, it was customary in long past centuries on Earth for every man bold enough to aspire to the right to be considered by others and to consider himself a conscious thinker, to be instructed while still in the early years of his responsible existence that man has two kinds of mentation. One kind, mentation by thought, expressed by words, always possessing a relative meaning, and another kind, proper to all animals as well as to man, which I would call mentation by form. The second kind of mentation, that is, mentation by form, through which, by the way, the exact meaning of all writing should be perceived and then assimilated after conscious confrontation with information previously acquired, is determined in people by the conditions of geographical locality, climate, time, and in general the whole environment in which they have arisen and in which their existence has flowed up to adulthood. Thus, in the brains of people of different races, living in different geographical localities, under different conditions, there arise in regard to one and the same thing or idea quite different independent forms, which during the flow of associations evoke in their being a definite sensation, giving rise to a definite picturing. And this picturing is expressed by some word or other that serves only for its outer subjective expression. That is why each word for the same thing or idea almost always acquires for people of different geographical localities and races a quite specific and entirely different, so to say, inner content. In other words, if in the presence of a man who has arisen and grown up in a given locality, a certain form has been fixed as a result of specific local influences and impressions, this form evokes in him by association the sensation of a definite inner content, and consequently a definite picturing or concept for the expression of which he uses some word that has become habitual and, as I said, subjective to him. But the hearer of that word, in whose being, owing to the different conditions of his arising and growth, a form with a different inner content has been fixed for the given word, will always perceive and infallibly understand that word in quite another sense. This fact, by the way, can be clearly established by attentive and impartial observation during an exchange of opinions between persons belonging to different races or who arose and were formed in different geographical localities.